Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2023 Tiger Woods Invitational at Riviera Country Club, aka the Genesis Invitational. We're all ready for this one. It's going to be awesome. Check out the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I am at BD Endrick, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friends?
I'm doing well. Did you get to watch much this week?
I watched a lot, actually, between either live or replays at night. I was glued to this. I literally didn't go to a Super Bowl party until it was over. Why am I blanking on his name all of a sudden?
Scheffler?
Our Canadian buddy.
Nick Taylor.
Until Taylor missed his putt on 16 for the bogey. That's when I started getting ready to go, and I realized it was kind of over. But I loved it. I love this tournament. Like I talked about last week, I thought it was great. What about you?
It was great. It was wonderful. I just had a follow up question on that. Did you realize that Sam Ryder made a hole in one on Saturday last year? Did you know that?
Did you know he made one then? Did you know he took a picture by it this year? Did you know it was the greatest moment of his life? And did you know that he almost won the Farmers because he, got that confidence from that hole in one on 16 last year?
It was crazy, man, to see how many times they fucking replayed that shot, dude.
You know what's funny though? Because there was another guy that got one last year too, but somehow they
Carlos Ortiz, yeah,
they
I
never
noticed
somehow
that.
Mentioned
no.
that one at all ever.
No, it was funny. I didn't even realize that he made it until they posted all the hole in ones Sunday. Yeah, and just no mention of Carlos Ortiz or showing.
Why would they not mention him? I don't know. What's different there? Like, is he in some other organization somewhere? Yeah.
I watched probably this is the most that I've watched probably since maybe the Masters last year. It's just really fun to watch as far as the atmosphere, and just the golf course is fun too. But yeah, they had to replay that shot 20 times.
Yeah, it was at least like every fourth or fifth group that went through 16. It was like, maybe we'll get hole in one today. Here's Sam Ryder.
And that's all they were talking about too on Saturday. Like, the chances are just so slim. Like, I know these guys are good, but the chances of a hole in one are just astronomical. And then, of course, Ricky made one
on 7. That was awesome. Real quick on 16, which made me laugh because most guys weren't even close ever. Like the pin placement, I think it was Friday when it was on the far right or whatever. Yeah. They were all just hitting the middle of the green, like not even trying to go with pin seeking because you get screwed basically. And we saw it on Sunday, but it was the far left. The guys that went for it because they had to, otherwise they played it safe too. Because if you went for it and missed, you're all down below.
Like the whole entire last group.
Yeah, the whole group was down there, which is that's where I really felt bad for Taylor. It's like Scotty just gave you one possibly. Then again, Scotty still saved par because he got relief and everything.
Insane.
Yeah, he got relief, but it's still two amazing shots to get par. I'm not going to downplay
the up and the putt to make the putt is ridiculous.
That's stones. That is stones. That's what winners do.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Makes
man.
It happen. 100%. But just watching some of the shots and where I was going with this was, Adam Hadwin was within 5 feet on Saturday and Sunday, which is for people that golf, that's freaking nuts. Yeah. Like you're just thinking about it. You probably play your course a lot. I have 3 par 3s on my little 9-hole course. And if you get within like 5 feet, once a month, once every couple months or whatever, you're like, oh, sweet. He did it back to back days. I'm probably the hardest par three to do it on.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, I play a little golf course and there's a couple 110 yard, par threes, and if the greens are significantly smaller, but trying to hit the green and every now and again I'll hit it to within 10 feet, his shot on Saturday was pretty cool. And then my only gripe, I know they were itching for it, but to throw beers again and like litter that whole entire hole because Ron made a putt, I don't want to be like the get off my lawn dude, but like you just can't control it once you kind of get to that level of intoxication, I guess.
That's the problem. You get to a certain level and there's no control, and it's like they're encouraging it at a point. Even the announce crew, it didn't bother me, but it felt like this year more than ever, they were like constantly talking about the buzz. Like they're making jokes about the boozed upness of it. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like they're embracing it. They're trying for a younger crowd. So I get it.
On Saturday, as the last group, Scheffler and I think Rahm, whoever I think had one or whatever, when they were playing 18, I was just sitting there thinking like they were on 18 green. And I was like, man, these guys are playing golf in the middle of a party.
Yep.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. Like, it's like, imagine like having a wedding and then having a reception and people are just playing golf in the middle of your wedding reception.
Yep. No, it's a great way to put it. It's like, think about the scrambles you played in where, you know, there's always at least one or two guys in every scramble group just pie-eyed by the end of the round, just because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Now this is everybody around you, like you said, and you're still trying to make golf shots.
Right.
So like that guy
you're playing for $3 million.
Yeah. 3.6 mil, which is nuts. And that's why it's fun to see them just hit the shots. Like, you can see looks on their face once in a while. Like they were all fine with it, but there's once in a while they just have like a little look on their face, like, really?
Rahm on Saturday, he was off to the right on 17, and he hit a chip shot. That pin was back left, like back in that little peninsula back there. Yeah. And he hit a chip shot. It was a difficult shot. I mean, to try to get this ball close back there, you got water long, you got that bunker to the right, probably had a terrible angle. I don't really know exactly, but he hit the chip shot and then it was really more of a pitch, probably 30, 40 yards, maybe 50. And he looks back up in the crowd and like just gives somebody just an absolute death stare. And I'm like, how is he holding it together of all people? Yeah. You know, like Scheffler, he doesn't give a shit about anything. You can just tell, yeah. but Rahm, like it doesn't take much to set him off.
That was one of the other reasons why I was so, so impressed watching Nick Taylor on Sunday. Like, he's going to battle between Scheffler and Rahm. Mm-hmm. Plus, you got the atmosphere around him.
Right.
He wasn't phased at all. Like, you know, he was making great golf shots.
Yeah, he was. The great thing about this particular course, I mean, you know, I thought it was playing more difficult Friday and Saturday, or Saturday, Thursday and Friday than it usually does. I mean,
it was really windy.
It was really windy. That really dried the greens out. The greens on Friday were fucking rock. I mean, it was just like hitting concrete on a lot of shots.
And
it was,
yeah, ask Justin Thomas. Did you see that clip?
I saw it all. I mean, I watched it all the whole weekend, but yes.
No, did you see the par three yes. clip with the dropping the F-bomb? That was glorious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was because it's fucking bullshit. He hits it in the middle of the green, takes a bad bounce, and goes fucking in the water.
Yeah.
The cool thing about it, besides like, it was fun to watch them play a little bit more of a difficult golf course. I thought it was just because we just get so many, especially early in the season, we get so many freaking, you know, easy golf courses that they're soft and it just 27 under wins. But this week, you know, it was playing more difficult when it was still 18 under. And you got guys up there like Scheffler and Rahm who were hitting it all over the place. I mean, I know you mentioned about the desert. Like, we need more cactus out here because it's not penal to hit it in the desert.
There was no penalties of anything when they were hitting balls out there. There's got to be something. Like, come on.
They're few and far between. And we'll maybe touch on this here in a second, but Xander got a hell of a drop. In between Rahm and Scheffler, who are just bombing it, you got Nick Taylor, who's hitting it 30 yards short of those guys off the tee. And he still shoots 16 under. Just a great place. I mean, just a great golf tournament all around. But yeah, Xander's drop, man. I mean, I wish. How did we not get more coverage of that? Like, how does this happen?
That needed to be so. Like, if that was Phil, because he pulled a Phil, that's a Phil move right there.
Bryson move. Yeah,
that'd be covered over and over again. And I like Xander, so this isn't me downplaying Xander.
I do too.
You know, he's the friendly, nice guy, so they're not going to like mess with them where they want to exploit the other side of it.
I had a pretty good lineup with Xander in it, and it was doing really well until he I don't know what happened on 15. Like,
well, it was I'm totally blanking right now. Feinberg, I haven't listened. I just listened to, like, the intro recap of this on Mayo's pod today, and he said the golf gods cursed him because he got that drop. Because after that, he went like double bogey. Basically, after that, between the rest of Saturday and all of Sunday, I think he shot like four over par. He was tied for the lead and then ended up like two or three over or something.
Yeah, he couldn't make a putt either. He ended up for the tournament. He shot 70-70 on the weekend, so one under, one under. But yeah, going into 15 on Saturday, he was tied for the lead. And then he leaves his third shot in the bunker and has to, you know, chip it out. And then it's just an absolute shit show from there. Can't make a 5-footer.
I had him in OAD this week, and I was tilting him all week because he was just pinpointing greens and could not make a putt.
Yeah, he was throwing darts, man, and he looked really good until 15 on Saturday and just completely lost it. But yeah, that drop was like just seeing the picture of it, like that's a burrowing animal hole because it's. I'm so confused.
Yeah, that was rough. That was a rough look.
And the coverage was good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but they dropped the ball on that. And then they are just and maybe this is just a sacrifice we're going to have to make because the commercials at the end, like they just after every shot, they went to commercial.
Yeah, those guys now,
the thing about that is before, like in primetime, whenever there's a lot of guys on the golf course, they're not going to commercials much. So maybe that's just a sacrifice we have to make. I don't know. It sucks, especially at that tournament, because to watch guys go from one place, you know, one hole to another with people yelling at them and just the absolute insanity that is going on around them is kind of fun, but whatever. I mean,
I got a couple more questions for you. I know it's a longer recap for the most, but this is actually a good tournament with a lot going on that took place. So it's kind of fun to recap. We're not even going to hit on most of it. Like Rory played like crap, and Rory flat out said on Thursday he doesn't like playing here. So like I'm shocked he played so well on Friday to make the cut. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
There's just a handful of things like that. But two things is when you mentioned about the course that I really liked is it was a tough course but fair if you made the right golf shots. That's how every golf course should be.
I agree.
That's how they all should be. You don't have to have 4 foot rough, you know, but make a good golf shot, get rewarded, make a bad shot, you're going to struggle. Like that's just simple golf. That's a beautiful thing. And to that extent, they kind of joked about it, but I don't know if there is too much of a joke because think how fun it would be to have a Ryder Cup at this place.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree, especially with the like with
those fans and stuff. Holy crap.
The fans. And if you build the Coliseum again on 16, that would just be absolute insanity. The problem is, you know, I guess really most of the matches will get to 16, but either way, with the particular set of golfers that we have that tend to hit it farther, but not necessarily more accurate, I think it would, you know, because obviously just hitting the desert doesn't matter. I've never seen so many insane golf shots out of the desert.
Yeah. Kevin comments on, because I even not just any more cactuses planted. I said, like, I've never seen so many great shots out of the ground, like that's almost hitting off a cart path, it felt like to me.
Yeah.
And Kevin's like, hit small ball before big ball. Sounds so easy, doesn't it, Kevin? Sounds so easy. Like I'd be chunking, I'd be breaking irons. This would be like all a disaster.
100%. Yeah. I mean, like because it just changes. Well, I guess if you do it enough, like you know, but it changes your mentality when you're hitting out of that versus grass.
It's crazy. Another one I have for you is the rumors that started, at least for me, I never noticed it before until this weekend. And I really hate this rumor, is these elevated events apparently next year will be only fields of 70 and no cuts. Is that true? Because that is garbage.
I don't think that's set in stone yet. I mean, you got to have at least, if they're going to be invitational fields, I feel like you still need to have at least 130 like this week. Yeah. If it's not going to be full field. And the problem is, too, early in this year with one course, it is difficult to get everybody around the golf course in 2 days. I mean, obviously this week we had an hour and 45 minute delay and then we didn't get done until like noon on Saturday to make a cut. So they weren't going to make the cut anyways before Friday night. So getting it down to like 120 would be okay, in my opinion, 130 maybe, but 70. Yeah. These no cut events, it sucks.
I won't be nearly as interested at 70 at all. Like, no. And they're trying to not be live. So what are we doing?
Well, the other problem is people go there to sit there all day, right? Like they want to be at the golf course all day. And if you only got 70 players going around it, like that's going to cut down on a lot of time that people are at the golf course and may cut down on having 500,000 people around that place in 4 days, which is just utter fucking insanity.
I think when the money talks, they'll realize this is not the best idea. That's just what I'm thinking, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. The last thing I have for you, and this is a fun one because I know we'll talk about it a lot next week. How pumped are you for Netflix's thing dropping on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. So it's
that latest trailer since we last recorded.
Apparently, they have one episode out right now. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I haven't been on there today, but that's what I was told. Episode one is already on there. So, yes, I will have watched that by the time we talk. By the time we record next week.
I can't wait. That's going to be that.
I'm currently stuck.
If people thought this recap was too much, you throw Genesis and Netflix on.
Yeah.
You might have like the longest pod we've ever had next week. Just throw it out there for it.
I'm currently.
Or maybe we do a separate Netflix podcast. I don't know, but
I'm stuck in The Walking Dead.
Oh
yeah,
rewatch. So,
I've never seen it, and I'm sucked in, and I'm it's just
I gave bad. Up about really, I think like season six or seven. I gave up.
I'm on five, so I've heard eight.
It was so good for so long, and then it just like I don't know. Some people stuck with it and said it stayed good. Maybe I'll go back someday.
It's on Netflix. So,
yeah, I watch a lot of stuff, so we'll see. Yeah. All right, people have probably had enough of us, but I could sit and talk about Waste all weekend. I thought it was like they don't even call it Waste Management anymore; they call it WM Open. What are we doing here? Like, whatever.
This is a whole other story. Why would you want to just change your name to WM?
Yeah, I thought about that all weekend just because I mean that's a dumb thought of mine, but literally every time they say kidding, WM Open, I'm like it's Waste Management. How hard is it to say that? It's not hard. Everybody knows it's the Waste Management because also you get wasted at the Waste Management. Like there's a whole thing.
Wasted management.
Yeah. On people. Branding. Yep. But like I said, I could talk about this. I love that golf tournament. It was great. And I know I'm not alone. So let's go to LA though, the Riviera Country Golf and Country Club for the Genesis Invitational Tiger Woods Tournament. Jesse, why don't you give us some past event history?
Yep. Last year, Joaquin Neiman, rest in peace, 19 under, two shots over Morikawa and Cam Young. 2021 edition was Max Homa, 12 under in a playoff over Finau. Adam Scott won for the second time in 2020. The first time was back in 2005. 2020 edition, 11 under, two shots over Scott Brown, Sung Kang, and then Matt Kuchar. And 2019 was JB Holmes. That just seems like that was 15 years ago. That was the year ago. He
took out JT on 36 hole playoffs when he was playing so slow and JT was even getting pissed.
Yeah. And so 14 under, one shot over JT. Bubba Watson, RIP, has won this three times, which, God, we could talk about so much stuff with golf. Did you see Bubba's videos?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Oh, I know, I haven't seen him.
It was a really slow time for golf for a while, but the last week has been electric.
Literally. We didn't even need to talk. We could talk. We're talking for an hour and not even talk about Genesis with golf.
Brooks Koepka going over to Asia and going 78, 74, not even coming close to
the cut. I think those were reversed, but yes, he didn't make the cut.
Yeah, didn't come close to it. Yeah, there's a lot of things we could talk about. Yeah. Right?
Bubba won this for the third time. 12 under, two shots over Kevin Na and Tony Finau. Dustin Johnson, RIP, 17 under in 2017, five strokes over Scott Brown and Tomas Peters. James Hahn, past champion. He's in the field this week.
Have you seen his comments lately?
Yeah.
He's going at no laying up. He's battling no laying up right now.
That's because they were talking about him not wanting.
I don't disagree with what he's doing.
And then he made a lot more money this week because of the elevated chip. So whatever.
But I think part of the reason he voted against it is because we talked about of potentially being a 70-man field, James Hahn won't be in those fields.
Oh yeah, that's 100% true. If that's the way
what it is, which, it's simple.
Pray to God we don't get there.
Yeah. All right, we got the course, the Riviera Golf and Country Club, and I'll try not to keep detouring because, like we said, there's a lot we could talk about right now. It's a par 71, 7,322 yards. You only have three par fives, all very gettable par fives. It's a great course, and I think the Olympics are going to be here when that comes in a few years. So another fun
2024.
Track. Fun track for the Olympics, actually, because what's great about this course is the first hole, it's a 500-yard par five downhill. It's if your guy doesn't birdie that one, you should cry. Because it's an automatic birdie for most of these guys.
A par four that plays. That's a par five.
It plays the same as I was looking. It's another par four. It's 475 yards. And they have the same scoring average of 4.3. That's how easy that one is. You also have the wonderful 10th hole, as everybody knows. It's a drivable par four, but it's risk reward. You have the bunker on the front right. You have all the trees on the left. The greens because a lot of these greens are very undulating, so placement is key, and it's a massive risk reward hole. You see guys birdie this hole, you see guys just get destroyed on this hole. We've seen guys hit shots out of the trees that just make you go holy crap. A lot goes on there. You have the 200 yard par three sixth hole, which has two tiers and a bunker in the middle of the green.
Yep,
that's always a fun one. You have the 15th hole, it's a dogleg right, and you started seeing Victor Hovland played at the 17th last year. And some other guys, Bubba's had some really creative shots over there before, RIP Bubba, as you mentioned. So these guys can do a lot of fun things with this golf course. the main thing is it is very narrow fairways, and they get narrower the farther down you go, so it kind of limits the just bomb and gouge approach, because these greens aren't super small, but if you're not in the fairway and can control your wedges, or there's really no wedges because you can't go deep bombing wise, your approach shots, you're going to have trouble staying on these greens. So a lot of around the green play, a lot of bunker play on this course, a lot of bogey avoidance on this course. They're POA greens. Rough is Kukui. You're gonna love that one. That's my local course has Kukui. You're gonna hear it a million times. It sucks. It's the worst. You never get the same shot twice in a row.
Sticky too, right?
Very sticky. Catches everything. And I'm just a Joe playing golf, so it screws me over when these guys make certain shots. I just want to like break my TV and go, how did you do that? But it's a fun course. There's a lot of history to it. And most importantly, it's a shot maker's course. A lot of iron shots from like 150 to 200, almost 175 to 200. Most of the par fives outside of that are the other two par fives outside of the gettable first hole, 550 to 600. A lot of the par fours outside of like the drivable par four are like 450 to 500. So you get a lot of length on the par fours, where your par fives and par threes are pretty gettable. So it's a good course. A lot of different shots to make, shot shaper, approach shots. It's going to be fun, but better be in the fairway. I'll say that much. What's your what do you got? What are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's more accuracy than distance. I mean, if you look at some of these past winners, I mean, obviously Neiman, not necessarily known for hitting it super far off the tee, but I mean, he could still hit it. Max can hit it too. Adam Scott, back in his prime, he could really, really hit it. But yeah, I mean, so you're just really kind of looking for more accuracy. And obviously the score last year, 19 under, is a bit of an outlier. The winner is going to be around, you know, probably mid teens. So got to have birdie or better still because of that. And, you know, a good short game around here is going to matter as well.
Yep, it's going to matter. And one other thing, it's a field of around 130, 131. If I saw anywhere between 130, 132, I think it's sticking at 131. We'll see. Invitational, I think it's all but like five of the top 100 in the world are going to be here. It is the most, it's the most talented field we've seen since a major, they said, even more so than last week in Arizona. So keep that in mind. It's going to be a doozy. So let's have some fun with this one, Jesse. DK scoring, 10K and above. You got John Rahm at 11-1, Scheff at 10-7, Rory 10-5, JT's back into the $10,000 range at 10-1. So, yeah, pick your poison.
Yeah, obviously it's, you know, who's who up here. I'm not going to – wouldn't argue with anybody. My only argument is going to be for Scottie Scheffler. Obviously, won last week. You know, it is what it is. But he's improved every single year he's been here. He missed the cut in 18 and then finished 30th in 20, 20th in 21, 7th last year. So take that for what you will. But, yeah, I mean, these guys, every single one of them has, you know, obviously a very good chance to win. JT, you know, he surprised me a little bit last week. He actually played really well on the weekend and got himself, I wouldn't really say in contention, but he finished fourth. Mm-hmm. He finished fourth. Mm-hmm. So he does 67, 65 on the weekend. Pretty good.
He just couldn't putt early on. That was his thing. And once he got the putter going, he was a lot like Xander, just flip roles on the weekend. Yep. And yeah, I don't mind JT at 10-1 in this one. You look at his recent form here at this tournament, sixth, miscut, second, ninth. So when he makes the cut, he definitely contends here. And you think he's starting to come into form, which is just his putter. Even if you look at past 24 rounds, he's 103rd in this field in putting, but everything else is pretty strong. He's first around the green, 16th in the proximities we're looking for. He's like, these guys are all elite. Like, he's 12th in my model, Rory's second, Scheffler's seventh, Rahm's sixth. Like, my model's probably broken, the fact that Rahm's not first. I don't know why that's the case, but I think JT's a very interesting spot here because I think Rahm and Rory are the two popular picks and probably for very good reasons. Not going to disagree with that. So go into Scheffler or Thomas could be a nice little pivot in this range. And I'm kind of starting to like Thomas a bit here. And I don't know, because the first few, if you would ask me this question on Friday afternoon, I probably told you you're crazy. But watching what he did over the weekend kind of got me back thinking JT might be here. Especially when you talk iron play, he is one of the by far better iron players in golf. So
right.
that intrigues me quite a bit. 9K range, you got Xander at 99, Max Homa 97, Finau 95, Sungjae 94, Morikawa 93, Burnsy, your boy, played well on the weekend at 91, and Cantlay at 9,000. Yeah, another good section here. So what do you like, Jesse?
Yeah, so at the top two, Xander and Max. I mean, obviously, Max has won here before. Xander's course history is really good. 13th, 15th, 23rd, 15th, 9th. And coming off that top 10 last week. Again, you know, it was a Saturday. One bad shot derails the rest of his. I really expect him to bounce back pretty well this week. So I like those two up top. And then also Morikawa, who missed the cut last week. Yeah. But second here last year, 43rd the year before, and 26th and 20. So obviously the course history is there and was playing really solidly before the miscut last week. He finished third at the Farmers and second at the Tournament Champions. I got one more, and it's Sam Burns. Yeah. I don't know why I wouldn't. At this point, I just can't quit. He did miss the cut here last year, third the year before that, 23rd miscut. So he's only made the cut two out of three times. But what for me was impressive was a 64 on Saturday at the WM, bogey free 64. And then he turned around and shot 68 on Sunday. So, I feel like Sam and Morikawa are going to be under owned because a lot of people are going to start with the guys up top and then immediately, you know, maybe potentially grab like Homa, Xander, and then you're gonna have to shoot straight down. So this could be a forgotten kind of range there where Morikawa and Burns are.
No, it's a great point. Like Homa and Xander should be very popular unless, you know, they don't want to go stars and scrubs. And I like them both. You mentioned the past win from Homa, Xander's history, and the way he just couldn't putt last week. Like we talked about, his iron play was exquisite.
Yes.
And that's going to come in handy here in a big, big way. Not sure if you saw Homa, but when he kind of struggled over the weekend.
He did.
Did you see the club throw out of the bunker on one? Oh, it was glorious. Yeah. Yeah. And then this is where the drunk fans on 17 come in handy, where he chipped in and rolled back to him, and they started chanting "One of Us."
Yeah,
that was amazing. Yeah. If anybody could take that, he's the guy for it. So that was good to see. But yeah, I'd go right back to Homa for sure. I love the Morikawa thing, especially not just for what you mentioned, but like he's first in good drives for the last 24 rounds, third in approach, all the things we're looking for. And a lot of people off the missed cut will kind of like be like, "Oh, he's broken or something." Like, and then you mentioned coming into last week how great he was playing. I think I'll go right back to that and get him back on POA, which he knows very well. So I like those three. If I got to throw one more in here, I keep loving Sungjae in tournaments. I keep talking about because he's a birdie machine. He's fourth in my model here. He's like ninth in strokes gained total, if you care about that. But I guess concern I have with him, but it's just been a Sungjae thing. He's 33rd here last year, didn't play in 21, missed back-to-back cuts. So his course history isn't great, but he's coming in 6th, 4th, 18th, missed cut, 13th, playing very, very well. Like 4th of the Farmers, that says a lot because I like to see how these guys play to the Farmers coming in here. A lot of similarities to me in the difficulty of a golf course. So I do like Sungjae. He'll come in probably very low-owned in this range if you want to be a little bit different. 8K range, Vic Hovland, Cam Young, Zalator, Spieth, Tommy Kim. Can we just change Tom Kim's name in the database, please? Like, we all know this. Jason Day, Matt Fitzpatrick, Hideki Matsuyama, Tyrell Haddon, Adam Scott, and Justin Rose coming back after his Pebble W. Some fun stuff here, as you'd expect.
Yeah, I mean, Hovland, is he going to be chalk?
Immense chalk. Like, when you come fourth and fifth in your two appearances here, all of the chalk, all of it. I think it's good chalk, honestly.
Yeah, it's hard not to play him after those.
It's a mispricing.
Yeah, I mean his two appearances here, two top fives. That's pretty insane. He shot two under for the tournament last week, so they finished 42nd. Yeah, not great. But before that, you know, 13th, 18th. So
won the hero.
I think he's fine. Like Cam Young is interesting to me because he finished second here last year. Yep. So that's obviously there. He did not have a good weekend.
64th.
Yeah. He finished.
But he did finish second in the Saudi thing the week before.
Yeah. I mean, he's playing all right. Maybe it's just not, doesn't like desert golf. Who knows? But finished second here last year. And then, man, keep kicking myself every fucking week not playing Jason Day. And so this is going to be the week that I do it. So this is probably the downfall. I was looking at the course history. It's not good. Miscut, 64th, 62nd, miscut, miscut. So that's not great. But, you know, at the last week at the WM, he had a really good showing, finished 5th. Before that, 7th, 18th, and 2 starts. I mean, it's hard to argue with that form. And, in, you know, at this price, he's a proven winner. So if he gets in contention, it's not like he's just going to fold over like some other guys would. And then Justin Rose at 8,000 obviously won the Farmers.
Well, he won Pebble.
Not the Farmers. Pebble has not missed a cut here since 2010. He hasn't played here since 2020, but he hasn't missed a cut here since at least before 2010 at some point. That's all data I have. So
yeah,
the course history is there. The form is there. Seems like pretty solid play.
Yeah, Hovland is going to be like just crazy chalk, and it's going to be really hard to fade it. I'm going to be 100% honest there. This is not JT Poston chalk. This is different chalk with Victor Hovland. So I'll probably be all aboard that train as well. I guess we'll watch ownership as the week goes on and really get a better idea, but he's going to be crazy chalk. Cam Young's interesting. Willie Z is the wild card for me here at $8,700. He rates out phenomenal on my model. He's first in the par fours, 450 to 500 over the last 24 rounds. But you just don't know how the back's setting up. Like, he got miscut at the Farmers, 36th in the Amex, 11th at the Century Tournament of Champions. He finished 26th and 15th in his 2 years here. He hasn't played in a few weeks, so maybe he's let the back rest. If he's ready to roll, I think he's a very, very interesting play at this price point, potentially lower owned at $8,700. Obviously, we don't have the best golf beat reporters out there to help us with this stuff, but I'd keep an eye on that one. If there's rumors or rumblings that he's doing good and healthy, I think Willie Z at 87 is very much in play. You can always play Tom Kim if you want. I'm not as excited about Tom Kim this week, I'll be honest, as other weeks, but you can. I love Jason Day again. I play him a little bit every week. He just keeps playing well. I do agree that eventually he's going to have one of those rounds where, like, crap, why do we play Jason Day? But I'm just going to keep running him out there right now. He's a different guy, and he's playing some really good golf. It was fun seeing him and Ricky paired together on Sunday. They're both just playing good golf. They're high-fiving each other, having fun. It kind of like old days. It was good to see out there. So don't mind that. The other guys I like is, you mentioned Rosie. I'll mention, keep an eye on Fitzpatrick's neck issue. He took that's an interesting one to me. But Adam Scott at 8K, the guy that's won here twice. He finished like 21st. At the Sony, 29th of the Century, hasn't played since Hawaii because Adam Scott. Why would he? But even last year, fourth here last year, 38th, first, 7th, 53rd in the last 5 years, he's making cuts. So Scotty at 8,000, he's probably cash game viable with some tournament appeal at that price point for me. All right, 79 to 75. You got Siwoo, Fowler, Clark, Thigala, Power, Bradley, Connors, Montgomery, Killer Keith, Harmon, Hadwin. Man, I love these loaded fields. What do you like in this range?
Yeah, this is a pretty good range. It's just time, I guess. Ricky Fowler, man. Yep. I don't know. I can't deny it anymore, just like Jason Day. I can't let my past thoughts about those guys, you know, come into play anymore. They're playing good golf. I mean, obviously, Ricky last week had the hole-in-one, but other than that, he couldn't putt, which is really weird for him. Like, I watched him hit so many fucking lips on Saturday, and then it was the same thing. Like, you cut to Ricky Fowler, he's hit a great shot in there, and he doesn't even sniff the hole. It's weird because Ricky's usually a great putter, but that's how golf is, you know.
You sure so you weren't watching Jordan Spieth?
I was watching them both.
I'm kidding.
Neither one of them could putt worth a shit. The thing is once Ricky gets, you know, is going as far as his putter, you know, he's going to, as far as his ball striking right now, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, he's ends up in contention probably. What's his course history? 55th, 20th miscut, 67th, 35th. So, I mean, not great necessarily, but for $7,900. Right. He was not doing well for a while. I think Siwoo's fine. Thigala, another guy who's made 2 of 2 cuts here back on the West Coast. He played golf at Pepperdine, which I think is in the LA area. LA.
It's right down there off the coast. Yeah.
So similar conditions. I'm sure he's been around Riviera plenty. And then Wyndham Clark, who had a great showing last week and has pretty good course history here. He is
$7,800.
Yep. And 8th, 2021, 17th here in 2020. So pretty good. Mix that in with the way he's playing right now. Keegan, $7,700 as well. I think he is, he's hitting it well enough. You know, he started off really hot last week and kind of fizzled out, but coming off a second place finish at the Farmers and made cut last week, I think he's fine. Course history is okay. And then Adam Hadwin, man, another guy I'm just going to, I guess, have to bite the bullet now. He missed the cut here last year, but before that he was 26th, 26th, 75th, 6th, 34th, 16th. Course history is good. The form is there. Another guy who, you know, is very much in play this week at $7,500.
Yeah, I kind of like the top and the bottom of this range. I'll keep going to see who he's 8th in my model. I think I recommend him every week, and I just keep playing him. He's 6th in opportunities gained, 8th in bogey avoidance over the last 24 rounds in this field. And you look at his just recent form here, 23rd at the Phoenix Open, or WM Open, 25th at the Farmers, 22nd at Amex, won the Sony. So he's top 25 or better in his last four events. And he's, you know, 73rd miscut, 37th third in his last 4 years here. So I'll keep going to Siwoo. I like Ricky with you as well. I'll jump on that train. Wyndham Clark, I'll be there as well. I think Keegs is interesting. So we're on the same page there. But if you go to the bottom of the range, I'm looking at guys like Brian Harman at $7,500. He's made three straight cuts here. Not great finishes, 43rd, 47th, 51st, coming to the 42nd at the WM Open. So he always kind of intrigues me on kind of a shot maker's course that you can lay up on. I'll have Hadwin checked off here as well for the same reasons you mentioned. And I think that's all I had for this. Yeah, Harman and Hadwin. Harman's 16th in my model. He rates out really well in almost every category. So that's surprising because he's not, his finishing positions aren't showing that. But yeah, we're in the same spot there. I really like that Siwoo, Ricky, Wyndham, Clark area in the top area here. 7K to 74. I'm not going to read them all, Jesse. So who do you like here?
There's way too many. 7,300, JT Poston. Right.
Go right.
Obviously,
yep.
Missed the cut last week because everybody and their mother was going to play him. He was 6th, 20th, 21st in his three starts this year. Pretty solid. His course history missed cut here last year, but 43rd, 30th, 28th, 17th. I mean, if you loved him last year or last week at 20% owned, I don't know why you wouldn't go back this week at much less ownership. Herbert. Lucas Herbert, I think Herbert. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. I can't remember exactly. He's never played here, but I swear he played somewhere recently.
He's played on the Euro Tour, and they're showing clips of him playing in the snow to get ready.
Well, he hasn't played since the BMW Championship. My model likes him quite a bit. That's the reason I got him checked off here. So might rethink that one. Taylor Moore is another guy who had a pretty good showing last week. He was kind of close to the top of the leaderboard for a little while, ended up finishing right, yeah, there it is, T14, which is a solid finish for Moore. 21st here last year at this golf tournament. And then Bo Hostler, man, did you see what he shot on Sunday?
He was at 63.
Yeah. Back the best round of the day, 48th, 15th missed cut in his three appearances at this course, and obviously had a solid tournament last week and come off the 11th place finish at the AT&T before that. So 7,200, Bo Hostler would be my last guy in this range.
Yeah, this is an interesting one here. Like I have KH Lee checked off at $7,400. He's 11th in my model, 8th in proximity, 150 to 175. He's 42nd last week, kind of just puddled around, but he's 26, 66, 13, 25th here in four straight years, finishing T26 or better in three of the four. So I like that quite a bit from Mr. KH Lee. Nick Taylor, I'm kind of torn here because we obviously saw what happened. He's 2nd, 20th at Pebble, miscut the Amex, 7th at the Sony. So he's playing really good golf. And then you look at the tournament here, 20th and 21, miscut in 20, 33rd, 41st. So he's played well here. It's like, how does he bounce back after being in the final grouping and kind of slip away, just didn't have enough at the end to make it happen. I'm kind of intrigued by that one to see how it plays out, but you might get, and he might be chalky. Like I got to see the numbers here. Cause if he's not gonna be chalky, I might go back to Nick Taylor here. He's played very well here. He loves California golf. He is, you know, he played a Washington Pac-12. So he's played down here many times probably. So that intrigues me with him as well. I have JT Poston checked off for everything you mentioned. That's one thing I'm trying to do more of this year. When a chalky guy misses the cut, I almost want to play him automatically the following week we know.
I mean, it'll be so much less. It might be 5% this week.
Well, it's the game of golf. Like, if the guy is good, he had one bad week. Trust how good he was. Like you said, if you liked him last week, why wouldn't you like him this week?
He really had one bad round because it just Thursday was just awful. A mess. And then I think he shot even par one under in the next day. So,
yeah. I think he's an interesting play for sure at 73. You mentioned Bo Haas. I had Taylor Moore checked off, really coming in, playing some good golf. And the last two I'll mention here is I'm a sucker for Thomas Dietrich time and time again. He's just a birdie machine. He's third in bogey avoidance. He's fourth in sand saves, if you do believe bunkers comes into play here. And last but not least, I'm anointing this another P-Raj week at $7,000. Coming in with a 14th at the Phoenix Open after back-to-back missed cuts at the Farmer and the Amex. And the Farmer, he played really well, and then he missed it late on that nasty Friday, 65 Thursday. Sunday, okay. Yeah, he played really well on Sunday. Missed the cut. This is what's fun about it. Missed the cut here last year, but then 12th, 30th, 15th, 26th the previous 4 years. Another guy that likes California courses. Don't play him in cash because it is Patrick Rogers. I will 100% admit that. But when he plays well at courses he likes, he plays really well. It's not like I'd be shocked if he finishes like 50th. If he's playing well, he's going to finish T25 or better, which I'll take at $7,000. So I will go P. Raj this week. What do you like in the 6K range?
I tried so hard to click multiple names here. Just couldn't make myself do it. I do have a couple. Aaron Rye. He made the cut here last year, back-to-back made cuts for him on tour. And then Lonto, Griffin at 6,500. He, is interesting to me because he's never missed a cut here. Three for three made cuts, best finish at 26 a couple years ago. But I mean, at $7,500 or $6,500, do we ever get anybody who's three for three made cuts at a course?
Not very often.
Yep.
Not very often.
Those are the only two. I mean, like, I've just, I've not had enough time to look into every single, the billion names that are below 65, but those are the only two that I could, like, make myself click on. So,
like, I'm always a sucker for Andrew Putnam with his putting ability. He's great on the par fours at $6,900, but he's been tilting of late, a couple of big missed cuts lately. So, it might be the time to get back on him at $6,900. Sepp has not played over here in a while, so I don't know what to do with him at $6,800, but he's kind of intriguing to me. James Hahn loves this place. He's won here before. He's $6,700. Yeah. He's coming off of a 32nd place finish last week after three straight missed cuts. If you want to go that route, we have Mr. Hole in One himself, Sam Ryder at 67. I do like him actually at that price tag here, the way he's playing golf. So he's interesting. I have Lanto at 65 checked off, and I'm going to keep mentioning him every week. He's $100 cheaper this week, and that is Kevin Tway at $6,200. If you want a guy with recent form right now, for dirt cheap, and if he could miss the cut, of course. 32nd last week, missed the cut at Pebble, 18th, 54th, 54th. He's made four or five cuts. He's $6,200. If you want to have even more fun with numbers here, finished 48th here last year, first time he's made a cut here in 5 years. So $6,200 for Kevin Tway, who's actually playing kind of okay golf. I don't mind if you want to go full punt this week. All right, let's recap things. Jesse here, 10K and above, who's your number one?
I'm going to say Scheffler.
I'm going to go JT because I think we know why we talked about it earlier. 9K range.
It's hard not to go Xander.
So you're going to go Xander. I'm going to go with Mr. Max. Mr. Max Homa. It's a fun range. 8K range.
I'm going to say Justin Rose. Obviously, Hovland is the play, but just to be different, I'm going to say Rose.
Yeah, I'll be with you there. Hovland is the play. We all agree on that. But to be different, you go Rose. I am going to go with Willie Z. I'm really curious. If he's healthy, I love that price tag for Willie Z. 75 to 79.
Hadwin?
That's fair. I am going to go I'm going to go with Siwoo. I'm going to go with Siwoo. 7K to 74.
Taylor Moore.
Taylor Moore is a good one. I will go with Nick Taylor. Give me Nick Taylor. Let's do it. Let's have some fun there. 6K range.
Lonto Griffin.
I'll go Sam Ryder at 67. I'll keep having some fun with him and see where it goes. If you're playing cash this week, who are three guys you start your cash lineups out with?
Yeah, I mean, Rose and Hadwin would be two that I would definitely be considering to play cash with. And then Hovland.
Yeah, I go like Rose, Scott, and Hovland as well. It's like that little 8K range. Go do whatever you want after that type situation. Right. If you want to start your GPP lineups, how you start those out?
Yeah, I mean, like Scheffler, Jason Day, I think that gives you a couple guys who can possibly win. And then you you know, dip down, and you got to go back to like JT Poston.
I like that. Let's have some fun and go Willie Z, Jason Day, and Ricky Fowler. Have some fun with the rest of that one. That could be entertaining to me at least. All right, the moment everyone always waits for, Jesse. Yeah. We look at DraftKings Sportsbook, and we look at John Rahm is 8-1 right now. Rory is 10-1. Scheffler's 11-1. But that means you get value on some other guys, like JT's at 16, kind of fun. I got Morikawa at 20. Who are you liking this week?
I mean, obviously different golf course, but, you know, Scotty Scheffler just beat Rahm and Rory, and he's third priced. 11-1 to me has got some value to it if we're going to have the – you know, Rahm and Rory at 8-10, Hovland at 28, Day at 40, and then Rose go back to back at 60.
I don't hate any of those. Even Adam Scott at 55, if you believe in course history, he could sneak up on you here. I like the Rose call there as a potential value. It feels like cream will rise to the top out here, but at the same time, if so many top 100 guys are out here, you wouldn't be shocked if someone shows up and make some noise. I just have a hard time clicking on any of these deep, deep odds when looking at them. So I kind of stay inside, like Rose at 60, like you mentioned, Scott at 55. One of these days, Hideki's going to go. One of these days. I don't know when it's going to be, but yeah, his price tag keeps dropping. He's down to 45 this week. So he'd be a guy to keep an eye on for me as well. I guess Cam Young at 35 did finish, you know, really well here last year. He'd be a one to keep an eye on too.
What about Tiger Woods at 130? Did you talk about Tiger? Did you mention Tiger?
No, I never played Tiger.
Skipped right over him.
Just skipped over the GOAT himself. Like, I can't wait to watch him. I'm going to watch every second I can of him, but I think we're both realistic about this as well.
It's like, crazy how the dude tweets out one thing, and like Twitter for 30 minutes was nothing but Tiger Woods is playing golf next week.
Well, even the guys on the course, because I guess they were all talking early on Friday, like, is he going to play? Is he going to play? And then when they were coming off, I can't remember what reporters were saying. We're letting every guy know. And he says, like, the looks on their face, the excitement, like they're all pumped going, Tiger's playing. That's going to be great. So I can't remember who said, I think it was Michael Kim or something. He's trying to build a Twitter presence. He said, just let Tiger Woods drive a golf cart and let him play. I'd be all for it. Let him have one.
Do it.
I know. Well, that's what and Kim followed it up and said, A, the core would never allow it, and B, Tiger would never do it. Like, he flat out said it, but I'd be all for it, man. Let him go.
Right.
Like, the more Tiger we get out there, the better. I don't care how it happens. Just
I agree. 100%. So,
but yeah, I think we're both realistic. Dude's got plantar fasciitis. It's a difficult golf course. Of course, he's never won to begin with, which is shocking to say. Like, those words came out of my mouth. But it'll just be fun to see him out there. I'm just not going to put my American dollars behind it. So that's the way I look at it.
I'm with you.
All right, final thoughts for Riviera Golf and Country Club, the Genesis Invitational.
I got none, man. It's going to be a fun weekend again.
Yep, it's going to be a fun one for sure. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We had a lot of fun, as you can tell, with the WM Open. And then we got Riv this week. We got some fun golf coming up here. Honda, API, eventually into this tournament with a green jacket involved in it. That'll be fun as well. So fun stretch of golf going to Florida after this and getting it going. So if you guys have any questions, hit us up on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. For Jesse, I'm at BDentric. We'll catch you guys next time. This was the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast for your 2023 Genesis Invitational. Catch y'all later.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.